Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you for your obedience and generosity. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going to pray before we get into the word today. We get to continue our series, Marked. Somebody shout, Marked. That has a new meaning to me because I got sun poisoning in Florida, so my back is currently marked in a way that's unfun. It's been like crazy. I've been putting more aloe and vitamin E lotion on than I have in a long time. So you can pray for my back. Thank you so much. You didn't want to know that, but I told you anyway, so there. I'm excited to get into the word today. The Lord has just... He spoke to me on vacation, which I love. I love that even on vacation, the Lord will still meet us there. Come on. And it's something I want to share today, and I want to share with humility and love. But I believe the Lord is, he's desiring to do so much in this season. But it can't happen if the people of God don't continue to position themselves for what God would like to do. Let me say this. How many of you guys know that God loves to accomplish his purpose in the earth through people? Well, it's the people of God that must position themselves for that purpose. And so we have to be challenged and changed and molded and shaped through the power of his word and the power of his spirit to continue to do everything that he's called us to do. And so today, I believe, is just a beautiful time we have right now to say, Lord, in this moment, your word says that you divide between soul and spirit. What does that mean? That means it divides between your feelings and your faith. Yeah. So even though sometimes our flesh doesn't like to hear certain things, we're not led by our flesh, we're led by the Holy Spirit. We have a body, but we are a spirit, and we need our spirits to be strengthened and equipped to walk in the fullness of what the Father has. So I want us to take a minute, and I want us to humbly today just take a minute and ask the Lord to truly speak to us through his word. And listen, that it does not just challenge us, but before we leave today, we have been changed by the eternal truth of his word and the power of his spirit. Amen. Can we pray together? Father, I love you today. God, I thank you for the privilege, God, of getting to teach and equip your people. God, one I do not take lightly. And God, I thank you, Lord, that I get to be a part of what you're doing in this church family. And Lord, I just take a minute and bless everyone here today. God, I bless their families, their marriages, God, their professions, God, everything that you're doing in their lives, Father. I just pray, bless them, God, exceedingly abundantly above they that could ask or think. And God, over the next few minutes this morning, Lord, I just pray, give us ears to hear what you're saying. God, I pray that the lens that we receive everything today, God, is through the lens of desiring to continue to be everything you've designed us to be. God, to hear with love. God, to be challenged and changed. Even right now, God, just begin to divide, God, between, God, our flesh and our spirit, our feelings and our faith. God, that we may continue to step into the purpose that you desire not just to flow to us, but flow through us in this season. God, and we give you praise, God, for this time that we're leaving differently than how we've arrived. And we thank you today, and it's in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready, shout amen. 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 Come on, be seated all over the room as we get ready. I told Pastor Brad today it's surreal that we're going to a second service again. It's been such a minute since we've had a second service, and at 5 o'clock, I feel like I'm going back to my roots a little bit. I called my dad and laughed at him. I said, this is your fault. You did this to me. You put this, those evening services. But I'm excited. Listen, I know February's been a crazy month. It was. Melissa and I were gone on a couple Sundays, once for vacation, one to go celebrate with Apostle Jim Raley, just what the Lord is doing there. And so this series has been a little unique because we've had some different voices, but they've done an amazing job. How many of you guys are thankful for quality leadership here at Makers Church? You know, I'm gonna tell you this. For too long, the church has valued charisma over character. And I'm thankful that here at Makers is that we are led not by just people that have quote-unquote charisma, but they have godly character. And I'm grateful for our elders, our pastors, our deacons. But the series has been it's been a little different. The flow has been a little different. So I want to take a minute and just review, lay some foundation, but really get into what the Lord has spoken to me today. So if you've got your Bibles, turn or tap with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're gonna get into the word of the Lord today. Ephesians 5. Go ahead, as you're getting there, look to your neighbor and say, you look good today. Come on, tell them. You look good today. Look good today. And listen, if you want to compliment my family, tell them they look tanner because they are. You can tell me I just look red because that's what happened in Florida. I don't get tan. I burn. It is what it is. It's life. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Here's what it says. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, talking about us, the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this, Jesus did this, to present her, talking about us, to himself as a glorious church. Somebody say glorious church. As a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Is anybody thankful that we're desiring to be a glorious church in this season? We are desiring to be a glorious church in this season. And we understand that we're a part of this thing, the 100 movement, with hundreds of churches. Today is day 65 of the 100 movement. So we've got about 35 days left of preparing and pursuing and positioning ourselves to receive the glory of God. And I urge you, if you haven't jumped in yet, you still got time. Jump in with us. What is it? It's every day four things. Reading the word, spending time in prayer, fasting, giving up something so you can have more of the Lord, and then just being generous. How many of you guys know we should every day be generous? There's so many ways. If you want more about it, you can go to our website. You can go to our church app. There's so many things that you can participate. In fact, our kids are getting another month's worth of ways to be a part of the 100 movement as well. Moms and dads, go through that with them. Teach them. Understand what it means. We don't just want to be any. We don't want to be just a church. We want to be the glorious church that Jesus is returning for. And so he says that he's doing this. And so we encourage you, be a part of that 100-day movement that we are a part of together. But I understand something. As we desire to be the glorious church, to have the glory of God in our hearts, in our homes, in our city, in our nation, the reality is this, is to be the glorious church, we must encounter God's glory. We can't be the glorious church without having the glory of God. To be the glorious church, the bride of Christ must reflect the groom who is Jesus. And we see in the text that the glorious church should not have spot or wrinkle. We should not have spot or wrinkle. We know those words in the Greek translate into stain and flaw. That we as the body of Christ should not have stains or flaws. But in this series we have learned we shouldn't have those, but we should be marked. We shouldn't have stains and flaws, but we should be marked by the Lord. What does it mean, marked? Marked means to have a distinctive feature or characteristic or an indication or some quality. And typically, those characteristics are overt, meaning they are not just seen by you, but they're seen by other people. That we should be marked, that God desires us to be marked by certain characteristics that reflect his nature and reflect the kingdom of God in the earth. Look to your neighbor and say, you've been marked. Come on, tell him, you've been marked. You've been marked. In fact, we have found, church, that we've been marked to make a mark. We have been marked by God to make a mark for God in the world in which we live. And we have learned and seen through this series and through the year that we're in, even on the calendar of the Lord and the calendar that we're in, this is not a coincidence, but God desires for us to come into alignment with him and be full of what he desires us to do. How many of you guys remember that we're in the year 2022? You should remember that one. That should be pretty easy. Do you remember that we're on the year 5782 in the Lord's calendar? So if you're new today, Pastor, what's the difference? The Lord's calendar is a lunar calendar, the Gregorian calendar, which we know is a solar calendar. But you can see, now what's interesting about this as we get into this is that obviously there's a lot of twos. If you add up 5782, it equals 22. You can see all of these twos. The number two represents unity and agreement. How many of you guys want to come into unity and agreement with everything God has said over your life this year? You want to come into unity and agreement with the purposes of God in your life. Listen, all you got to do, are you ready, is say yes. Somebody shout yes. You got to say yes to what God has already said yes to. But it's a year, the decade of twos, the number two, and we can see in God's word. What's so interesting is that we find in the Hebraic alphabet that there is 22 letters in the Hebraic alphabet, and the 22nd letter of the Hebraic alphabet is the letter Tav. Somebody shout Tav. Heather or Johnny, whoever it is, can you guys go back to the title slide? I want everybody to see it so they don't miss it. The letter Tav. It's in the promotional graphic that we made for the series. The letter Tav, it's going to be up there hopefully soon. But just trust me, there it is right there up top in the white. That's the letter Tav. And the word Tav, the Hebrew letter Tav, literally translates to mark. It translates to mark. And so we can see that this is not an accident, this is not a coincidence, but this is intentionality from the Lord, that God desires to mark his people so we can make a mark on the world in which we live. And you say, Pastor, are you sure? Absolutely. Why? Because we as the bride of Christ should look like Jesus. If Jesus has been marked by certain things, his bride should be marked by certain things as well. And so we've been studying this and looking at how God desires for us to be marked so we can make a mark. But the clarity and the challenge has come into this, is that as we've been looking at these things, we've also begun to understand that because for a long time the church and the people of God were not intentional and consistent the way that we should have been and could have been to the will and the ways of God, instead of making a mark, we started leaving a stain. Instead of making a mark, we started leaving stains where we should have been making marks that brought change and transformation to society. We started leaving stains that brought confusion and pain. And I believe in this season, God desires for those things to begin to turn. How many of you guys know God doesn't just make things, he turns things? He wants these things to begin to turn so we can understand and recognize that we are not here to just leave stains, but to make a mark for the kingdom. That we can bring change and transformation, not just when we gather in this house, but we can bring change and transformation in our house. We can bring change and transformation at where we work and where we work out and where we eat and where we live our lives. On every place of societal influence, we can make a mark for the kingdom. We can make a mark for the kingdom. And so we see that in this season, God desires for us to leave a legacy for the kingdom instead of a stain. And you say, well, Pastor, are you sure we can do this? Yes, because Philippians 2:13 says this. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Are you thankful that God cares about you more than you care about you? He desires even more than you do for you to carry out the plan and the purpose that he has for your life. And so you say, well, I want God to turn it. Well, good, he wants to turn it too. So what do you have to do? You have to take your yes and unite it with his yes and say, Lord, thank you that you are not just working for me, but you are working in me, giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. That's what he does. Somebody say amen if you're thankful for that kind of God. I'm thankful that we serve that kind of God that does that. And so we can see that we're in this place where we've been praying, Lord, put your mark on us. God, mark us right now so we can be a mark in the world for you. And so we've talked about how we must be distinctively marked. And throughout this series, church, we've been looking at principles and characteristics for God, that God desires us to be marked. And we talked about what's interesting, and we get in God's word, is it seems like a lot of these times these characteristics and markings come in twos, which is even more unique, right? Because we're in the decade of two, the year of twos. These markings come in twos. And we talked about how we've been marked to make disciples and make a difference. We've been marked to have integrity and intimacy. We've been marked to worship in spirit and truth. And today we're talking about two more of these markings. And I want just to remind you of something, because we talked about this. Jesus taught us a very powerful kingdom principle in Matthew 23:23, when he was talking to those bunch of Pharisees. Because they were doing one godly thing, but ignoring the other. He said, listen, he said, you should not, and you better stop picking one or the other, but you better start doing both. And we learned this principle, is that we cannot be an either or church. We must be a both and church. If he says do both, we don't say, well, Lord, I'm going to pick this one and leave this one alone. No, if he says do both, we do both. Somebody say both. Makers Church must be a both and church. Why? You know why we started picking either or? Because it was more comfortable and convenient just to pick one and not have both. And guess what? Can I tell you, that's part of the reason the church started leaving a stain in the world. Because we were doing one really well, but we were ignoring the other one altogether. And so God says in this season, I want you to be marked, but I don't want you to do either or. I want you to be both and. So Makers Church, we must be a both and church. If you believe that, say amen. But today I want to talk about something. I want to talk about two different markings as we look at this today. And I'm gonna tell you right now that these markings that we're talking about that should be in our lives are so important that not being marked by both of them, are you ready? It is the difference between heaven and hell. It's deep. Look to your neighbor and say, it's deep. It's deep today. Saying yes to both of these, not either or, but both of these, I promise you, I'm going to show you from the Word of God, it is the difference in where you spend eternity. It is the difference of where you spend eternity. But I'm going to start here with something that should be obvious for the people of God. How many of you guys know, as the people of God on the earth, we should all be marked by this thing called salvation? We should all be marked by, is anybody thankful for salvation in Jesus, by the way? Come on, somebody make a little noise for Jesus. If you're thankful. But the Bible is actually pretty clear. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to go here, marked by salvation. Ephesians 1 chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, I want you to see this. It is the same with you. You heard the true message, the good news. How many of you guys know the good news is the gospel? It's good news. It's only bad news for the enemy. Come on, somebody. The good news about the way God saves you. He said, when you heard that good news, you believed in Christ. And see this, and in Christ, God put his special, God put his special mark on you. Anybody thankful that God marks you? Come on, somebody. He said, and in this, in Christ, God put his special mark on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that he promised. Is anybody thankful for the Holy Spirit in your life? The person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a gift. What a gift that we have received in him. But notice this, I'm going to go just for a second further. See what he says. He said the Spirit is the first. Somebody say first. It's the first payment that guarantees we will get all that God has for us. Have you guys ever wondered why I always say the best is yet to come? Pastor, that sounds like church rhetoric. Do you see in the text what I can see right now? The Spirit is the first payment that guarantees we will get all that God has for us. That scripture shows you the best is still yet to come. The best, come on, somebody say, the best is still yet to come in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in our city, in our church, in the world. The best is still yet to come. But if you want to be negative Nelly and say it's not, go on ahead. But we're going to believe the best is yet to come, because the Bible says so. But see this. He said, in Christ, God put his special mark on you by giving you the Holy Spirit. But notice, he said, when you heard, you believed, and we received salvation, and we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. And how many of you guys know that there's a way we see in the Word, we know how we get saved. Ephesians 2:8 says this. It shows us. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. By grace through faith. So what does that mean? That means that salvation is not a goal to achieve, but a gift to receive. And it's a beautiful thing to know that we can say yes to a gift that saves us from so many things the Lord never intended for us. Amen. So we can see how we got saved by grace through faith, but we should know, listen, we shouldn't just know how we got saved. We should know by whom we are saved. Not just how, but by whom we are saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Somebody shout amen. He says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So what does that mean? That means we become the sons and daughters of God by the grace of God through faith that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. If you know that God raised Jesus from the dead, somebody shout amen. Man, he did it. He did it. And I'm going to tell you something. After all these years, you can tell that revelational gift of salvation still makes me excited. Do you want to know why it makes me excited? Because God saved me when I couldn't save myself. Come on, somebody. God brought me out of slavery and darkness and fear and anxiety and insecurity. And he put me into his kingdom of marvelous life to walk in freedom and joy and righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. Come on, if you're thankful for salvation, somebody lift your hands and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be saved through Jesus, to know that we've been given eternal life, to know that we have been redeemed and we belong to Yahweh. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thankful for what salvation means. How many of you guys know that when you got saved, that you were made righteous because of Jesus? All the sin was taken out of your account and you were accounted for righteousness, right standing with God. But can I tell you, you were also justified. Come on now. You were justified. What does that mean? You were justified in the sight of the Father. And because you were justified in the sight of the Father through Jesus, guess what? That means that you can walk in freedom in every part of your life. Salvation is a gift that keeps on giving. Come on. It's so beautiful to know that we have been saved through Jesus. But I need to go further today as we're celebrating the gift of salvation. This is where I want to spend the rest of our time today. Because the answer is yes, we should be known for being marked through salvation. But listen, it's deeper. We should not just be marked by salvation. We should also be marked specifically by knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, Ken, you're going to have to help me here because they're going to get quiet, all right? We should be marked by knowing Jesus specifically as Savior and Lord. Everybody say Savior. Now say and Lord. Savior and Lord. See, the Bible tells us clearly Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. But listen, he is also the Lord over everyone and everything. In fact, from the time that he arrived to the earth, he had this characteristic. He was marked by those things. I'll show you. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angels are talking to the shepherds, and they say right here in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the..." You see right there, he automatically was marked by these things, that he is not just Savior, but he is also Lord. And listen to me, church. We should be marked, you and me both, as the glorious church, as the people of God in the earth. We should be marked by knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Knowing him as Savior and Lord. So let's talk for a minute. What is Savior? What does the word Savior actually mean? Savior means this. It means one who delivers from trouble, sin, and judgment. That's what Savior means. One who delivers from trouble, sin, and judgment. Does that sound like Jesus to you? It sounds like Jesus to me. Who delivers from trouble, sin, and judgment. In fact, if you go read John 4 or 1 Timothy 4 or 1 John 4, Jesus is described in all of those as the Savior of the world and the Savior of all men. John 4, 1 John 4, and 1 Timothy 4. Go read it. And listen, how many of you guys know that we have the Savior of the world in our lives? How many of you guys could say what a Savior he is? Come on. What a great Savior Jesus is. What a Savior Jesus is. Pastor, are you sure he's that kind of Savior? Come on, if you know Jesus as Savior, you know that he saved you from sin. You know that he saved you from slavery spiritually. He saved you from judgment. But guess what else he did? He saved you from a life filled with deception and distraction and despair. Come on, it's your story too. He saved you from lust. He saved you from fear. He saved you from greed. He saved you from anxiety and depression and confusion. Listen, he saved you from living defeated and compromised and contaminated. And guess what he did? He saved you. He took you out of those things. He took your feet out of that miry clay and set them upon a rock that you can declare that you are the son and daughter of God in the earth. Come on, if you're thankful for that kind of Savior, go ahead and give Jesus 10 seconds of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this is not the season for the church to get quiet about how thankful we are for Jesus. We ought to be loud in our celebration of salvation. Come on. We ought to celebrate who God is and what he's done in our lives. He is a great Savior. But listen to me, as great of a Savior as he is, church, he is also the Lord. As great of a Savior as he is also the Lord. Now see this now. He is not a Lord. He is the Lord. He is not a Lord. He is the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, what does Lord actually mean? I'm going to show you. Lord means honored one. A superior, a master, a king, or ruler. That's what Lord means. You say, well, what kind of Lord is Jesus? Are you ready? He's the Lord of lords. Other people might try to wield that title in the earth, but they're not the Lord of lords. That's reserved for Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's reserved for Jesus alone. Can I show you in the Word how amazing Jesus is as the Lord of Lords? Can I show you? Just say yes, because I was going to show you anyway. You know that. I want to show you how amazing he is as the Lord of Lords. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. See this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, notice, through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything, listen to this, everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. How many of you guys are thankful Christ is our head? Hey, listen, it's a privilege to be the body of Christ. It's a privilege to be the body of Christ. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Somebody say amen to the word of God. Listen, do you see how he is the Lord of Lords in that text? But I'm going to show you one more, just because how many of you guys know that we should be proud of our King, who is the Lord of Lords? Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise. To the glory of God the Father. Church, he is not just a Lord, he is the Lord. In fact, he's not just the Lord, he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of Lords. So what does this mean? Well, let me keep going. We as God's people, his church, should be marked by knowing Jesus as both Savior and Lord. How many believe that? How many can see? You can see it's evident from God's word. That's not my opinion. It's the word of God. That we should know him and receive him as Savior and Lord. This is where I need to go deep for a few minutes. Because here's the truth. There has been and there still is a growing number within humanity that has declared Jesus as Savior of their lives, but will not declare him as Lord of their lives. There has been and there still is, unfortunately, a growing number within humanity that has declared Jesus as Savior of their lives, but will not declare him as the Lord of their lives. There are so many that desire to be saved, but they decline to be submitted. There are so many that desire to be saved, but they decline being submitted. And I need to be plain for what I'm about to say. It is because of this unfortunate truth that we as the church at large have left rebellious and religious stains in the world where we should have been making miraculous marks instead. Because we, the church at large, so many people say, Lord, I want to receive you as Savior, but I don't want to recognize you as Lord. I want your help, but I don't want your holiness. I want you to do something for me, but don't ask you to give me my loyalty in return. You want honesty? Some point along the way, church leaders, they became so enamored with the popularity of size. That they felt like they had to water down the gospel. And say, listen, you need to encounter Jesus as Savior. Which we do. Because he can save us from things that we can't save ourselves from. He is the Savior of the world. We're not debating that. That's fact. It's the word. But what happened is they watered it down and said, you just need Jesus as Savior. And if you feel like it, you can also make him your Lord. That's the truth. There's so many people that will literally, listen to me, they will declare with their mouth that Jesus is their Savior, but they have declined in their heart that he is the Lord. Pastor, is that dangerous? It's dangerous. You want to know how dangerous it is? Do you remember Romans 10:9? Did it say, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Savior? Go to it. You go to Romans 10:9 for a minute, please. You openly declare that Jesus is Savior. Nope. Nope. You openly declare that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm nervous for a lot of folks. And I'm not nervous because I'm trying to be legalistic and hard. I'm nervous because there's a lot of people that will say, I love that Jesus is my Savior, but I'm not interested in him being my Lord. Because if that's the only verse and there's more, that verse, it does not say that Jesus, you confess that Jesus is Savior. He says you confess that Jesus is Lord. And then you will be saved. because so many people have begin to understand Jesus as Savior, and there's so many people now declining. Listen to me. They are declining to receive the Lord as Lord. Can I tell you? There have been so many stains left over several decades. Here's why. Because we have lived like lords instead of living unto the Lord. I love you. I gotta preach this. Am I okay? We have been leaving stain after stain. And listen to me, we have now raised two generations. Two generations of sons and daughters that will readily accept being saved by Jesus, but they really struggle with submitting to Jesus. Tell me I'm not right. We've raised two generations. My generation is one of those generations. We've raised them to where they readily accept Jesus as Savior, but they really struggle with submitting to Jesus. But I need you to hear me today, church. If you really have accepted the gospel of salvation and the kingdom, that means that you have accepted and acknowledged Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's not either or. It's both and. It's both and. That we must readily accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. Why? What does Romans 10:9 say? If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him, you will be saved. And then verse 10, for it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's important, church. I said at the beginning, eternity hangs in the balance for some people, and they don't even know it. Because they think they're saved simply because they've received Jesus as Savior. But they have not received and submitted to Jesus as Lord. And I don't know about you, but I feel a burden and obligation to tell folks. It's not either or, it's both and. Say, Pastor, how do I know if Jesus is the Lord of my life? Are you ready? It is really easy. Who is in charge? Who is in charge? I'm going to say something. And if you're online today, it's so good that you're with us. Lord is not in charge of every area of your life. Hear me. That old saying is true. He is either Lord of all or he's not the Lord at all. So that statement alone can put us to a conclusion to say this. If he's not the Lord of all, then he's not the Lord at all. I think there are a lot of people that live specifically here in America that think they are saved and they don't know what salvation really is. And that makes me nervous because it's not just us. We're raising sons and daughters who think this way. We're raising sons and daughters who think that all we need to know is Jesus is Savior, but that's only the first part. It's beautiful and supernatural and powerful, but we also have to teach them and we have to understand he is Savior and Lord. Did you know Jesus actually talked about this? I'm gonna show you from the Word, Matthew chapter 7. I know our worship team got up like I was finished. I fooled them, they didn't even know. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But it is he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I want you to look at that next word. What does that next word say after that? I'll keep on going. Many. Somebody say many. He said, many, not a few. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. And then Jesus said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, if you're like me, if you read that, are you guys thinking, how, and why would God let them do supernatural things if they weren't really submitted to Jesus? Anybody else think that? Am I the only one? Okay, that's me. That's fine. Because it's actually possible. Listen to me. It is possible for even a self-deluded person to exercise supernatural things, not because of themselves, but because of the power and the authority of the Word of God in the name of Jesus. It's possible. And they said, Lord, we prophesied, we cast out demons. Lord, we did all of these things in your name. And Jesus said, hey, I never knew you. We never met. Is it possible that there are thousands and thousands of believers that have met Jesus as Savior, but have never met him as Lord? What's funny is, I think about this, imagine those people that were walking the earth at that time saying, we did this and we did this, we did this. I can tell you, if they were here today, guess where they would be? They wouldn't be in the club right now. They'd be in the church. Because if you were completely not aware of Jesus, why would you care anything about Jesus? They were aware of who Jesus was, but they didn't know him as Lord. And there are so many people that we live on a consistent basis and we gladly accept him as Savior, but we reject him as Lord. Church, we must know him as both. We must be submitted to Jesus in every part of our lives. Pastor, how do you know? Because the glorious church has no stain or flaw. The glorious church has no stain or flaw, but it is pure and holy and set apart to Jesus. Do you really think Jesus is coming back for a bride that is not submitted to him as the groom? I know this is hard and heavy. I know it is, but we have got to understand it, because if I'm honest with you, I think there are a lot of people in this season that actually need to receive the real gift of salvation. That they need to receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Why? So they can live in the fullness of what God promises to all of us who say yes to him. I got one more thing and I'm going to close. If you're with me, somebody say amen. If there's no middle ground, we must be marked with knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Listen to me. That means for even people in this room today and people watching online right now, today is a day where you're going to make a decision to receive Jesus as Lord. But I want to talk about submission just for a second. Just for a second. We must submit to the lordship and leadership of Jesus. But hear me for a minute. This is how good God is. Submission to Jesus isn't a result of tyranny, but of trust. Submission to Jesus isn't a result that he's a tyrant. It's not an act of tyranny, but of trust. Let me say it this way. If you trusted Jesus enough to save you, then you should trust him enough to submit to him. If you trusted him enough to save you, then you should trust him. you're the Lord. I'm done living like a Lord when I should be living for the Lord. Pastor, how can I submit? Two ways today we can start. Are you ready? Submit to His will for your life. Not your will. Not what your flesh wants. His will. And then what? Submit to His ways. Psalm 18:30 said, God is perfect in all of His ways. His way is perfect. Let me ask you, on your best day, is your way perfect? No. And if you're a man, you should say, absolutely not. Even though we always think it is. How many times we said, no, honey, it's this way. Wrong. Wrong. Submit to His way. Psalm 18:30, His ways are perfect. But then what about His will? What about, you say, well, how can I submit to His ways and His will? Because Matthew 28, I love it. Jesus said, I am with you always. He never leaves. You can trust His will and His ways because they are better, they are perfect, and you can know this, when you submit to Jesus, He's not leaving after you submit. He stays. In fact, He takes up room in your life. In fact, Paul said, he said in Galatians 2, he said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me.